today. Stand by.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you'll love our $150,000 first four jackpot on the BMW at Rosehill Gardens today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ, setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and TAB markets.
Yes, hello everyone. This is Racing HQ Saturday, Sky Sports Radio and the Sky TV Network. Ron Duffacy is joining us out here at Rose Hill. And the good news is we've had no overnight rain. We've had plenty for the week, but since yesterday morning there's been no rain and the track has been now upgraded to a heavy 9, so that's really good news. The penetrometer is 6.34 and the rail is at 6 metres today. So a heavy 9 now and the penetrometer 6.34. Our Ivanhoe has been officially scratched from the BMW. It failed a fitness test yesterday. Under the rules of racing, they allowed it to stay there until this morning to make sure the meeting was going ahead, which it obviously is. So our Ivanhoe has just come out race 6 number 1. I'll update on all the scratchings for us in just a moment, but Ron Duffacy is joining us. Duff, it's great to be here on a Saturday, the carnival, and looking at our OB van, there's going to be a bit of sunshine.
Well, I'm sure there will be this morning, Andrew. It's really nice just walking out there and watching the horses working, and everyone's in a happy mood because it's a nice temperature and there's no rain and everyone's enjoying their work out there this morning. It's quite refreshing.
Yeah, it is. A couple of horses galloped on it for Gerald Ryan, and Corey Brown was one of those and Rory Hutchings the other, and they've come up with a heavy 9. So we've seen improvement off just with that gap of no rain in, the last sort of 20 to 24 hours, the track's been able to improve.
Yeah, well, again, we've got a month's worth of wet form to work with, so it makes things a little bit easier. Maybe a few little queries on a few Victorians, or well-fancied, mind you. A lot of well-fancied Victorians here today at a bit of odds. Mm. A real contest with most of the races.
Mike Fraser's online as well on a Saturday. Morning to you, Mike. Good to be chatting with you again. And, well, you've done your wet track form, but at least today we've got no rain forecast until very much late in the day.
Yeah, exactly right. Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ronnie. Nice to be here. Yeah, it's great that we've got a heavy 9. Fancy laughing at that, we're happy to have a heavy 9. But I think the thing we've got to look for today is where is the best part of this track going to be? We had 10 races last Saturday. They were pretty much all over the shop there. They were probably getting a little bit away from the rail. I looked at the corresponding meeting last year, and they were with a 6 metre rail. They were coming up on the inside a little bit more, so maybe that could be a little bit protected on the fence there, a little bit of a new pad there. But I think it's a wait and watch because we had so many races last Saturday. We'll just have to see where the jocks find the best part of the track. But I'm thinking initially it may be towards the inside, but that's just based on last year's history.
I'm going to stress off the top here that I'm no track walker, okay? So I'm stressing that. But I went for a walk yesterday afternoon, Mike, and walked around from the winning post to the 500. And you can certainly see where they've galloped on it last week. And I've got a feeling that in the straight, they're certainly going to get to the middle. They're going to get off from, say, that 600 or 700. You can see it a lot better where they didn't race last week, out on the middle part of the track down the straight. That's from my eye, just looking at it. I stress I'm no track walker.
And listening to the boys this morning, they just said, geez, wish we would have had that rail out another metre. I'd be saying early in the day it might be the opposite, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, we'll wait and see. Yeah, we've got to wait and see. And as I say, I'm stressing that I'm just visually looking at it. Just ahead of Troy Corston's, these are the current earlies. Savaro's just come out, so these are the earlies at this stage. Race 1, number 8, Merchant Navy at 11, Fager, 8 and 11 out of the first. Race 2, number 5, Savaro, number 5. The third and the fourth are clear. Race 5, 3 Rising Red and 4 Akatua, 3 and 4 out of race 5. Race 6, the scratching of our Ivanhoe, number 1, failed the fitness test there yesterday. Race 7, number 8, Cassidy. Race 7, number 8, and race 8, number 1, First Seal. Race 8, number 1. We'll talk about the Valley last night. A thrilling finish to William Reid, but Troy Corstens is online. I think you saw his dad last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Where was he when you saw him?
He was in the foyer at the Ridges.
I thought he...
So I'm going to see if their stories compare here this morning.
Well, I thought you were about to say I saw him at the bar.
No.
Just in the foyer.
He's just got back from tending to his horses.
Okay. Troy, good morning to you, mate.
Morning, Andrew. If there's one place you wouldn't have seen him, it would be at the bar.
No, exactly. No, well, I was thinking that as I was saying it, but you've set him up to look after these two today?
Yeah, we thought we'd better send the head honcho up for the trip up there.
Talk to us about this filly, Troy. Montoya's Secret. She's hard to line up here, but she's winning by big margins.
She is, Ronnie. And, I mean, her last start was ultra impressive, albeit on a good track. But if you go back through her form, she's racing against the correct filly, and I think that should hold her in good stead today.
Last preparation, she sort of had a bit of a rap on her, and she didn't sort of fulfil that promise, but she's sort of taken the next step this time in.
Yeah, well, she got a virus, Ron, coming into the towards the end of the spring, and we were trying to get it to an eighth, and we just couldn't do it, and gave her one run after she had the virus in that 1,700-metre fillies race at the end of the carnival, and she really got home nicely in that, and I know she only ran fifth in it, but it was a terrific run, and then we tipped her out and gave her a nice spell to get over everything.
She's a filly that's got back in the past, but she went forward the other day. This is a little bit of a tricky race tempo-wise. Would you be concerned if she went forward again today?
No, not at all. We'll leave that to Noel. And I think it's more going to depend on how she handles the heavy nine today, Ron. I mean, she's never been on it. She's been on a soft seven, but it was a very different soft seven at Sandown when she ran second. So I'm really unsure how she's going to handle that. So we'll leave it up to Noel where he thinks she's comfortable.
I guess the thing is, you brought her here in that winning form, the way that she did win last time.
Yeah, and it's always nice. Obviously, it's a monumental leap from a 0-64 on a Monday at Mooney Valley to a Group 1 Vinery. But, you know, three-year-olds, there is an age bracket that can do it. The two-year-olds and the three-year-olds can often do it.
This horse in the last, Mr. Individual, what sort of shape is he in?
He's really good, Ron. We gave him one trial and then gave him the run at the Valley, and probably he really needed that two trials for his grounding. He blew very hard, so we've piled the work into him since. He's actually had another two trials, and he should run a much better race today.
If he jumps, he could be on the speed here. There's no leader here as well.
Yeah, and he is a horse that does like going forward, Ron. I think he races best when he does do that, so that might be the plan this afternoon.
The old man seemed to be a little concerned with a very heavy track with him.
Yeah, obviously, he's trialled on it before but never raced on it. So it's always under race pressure. You just sort of don't know how they're going to handle it completely. But there's only one way to find out.
Well, two knockout chances, it looks like.
Yeah, I hope so. I think, you know, it's always hard when you go interstate. You don't want to go up on a whip with horses that you don't think can make the grade, but I think both of these two can and hold their heads up and run really good races.
Yeah. The last time we had you on, Troy, we were talking about Awesome Rock, now retired. And has a home, a stud farm been, has a deal been done there?
Look, a deal's not over the line, Andrew, but right. We've got significant interest from Western Australia at the moment. So I'd say there'll be something on the table that I'll be getting back to the owners with today.
All right, well,
are these the only two horses for Sydney? Anything for Randwick later on, or are we just all the eggs in these two baskets?
We'll bring up a horse called Modern Wonder Ron for the PJ Bell next Saturday.
Okay, beauty.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Troy. Good luck. I hope your dad's happy here today, mate.
Thanks, Andrew. Good on you.
Good on you. Troy Corston's there with Leon up here, and you wanted I saw you on form line. You wanted a bit of a push for Mr. Individual, didn't you?
He wanted the map push.
Yeah.
No, I want everything. I wanted everything. I wanted to just suck his blood. Leon's a good judge.
Yeah.
I've had horses with him in the past.
Oh,
you get that map sorted. That's all we care about.
Yeah, he give me the slows a little bit. He's got me a little bit shaky.
Troy had you up and going, and then he sort of dropped you
a little
bit, didn't he?
I like Troy's appraisal of Mr. Individual better than Leon.
Okay. So do you trust son or dad?
Look, I don't know. I'll let you know after last.
What do you think of Mr. Individual, Mike?
Look, I listened to Ronnie on Thursday night. I think he does have to improve, but it was interesting to hear Troy there talking about that they've piled the trials in him. So it's a whole different ball game. Now that he's had the extra work for sure and certain. Has to tick the heavy track box, but, you know, his slow track form's okay.
Artistry's just come out of race two. Race two, number one, Artistry. And New Tipperary, race four, number six, has just come out. Race four, number six, New Tipperary. And Zenilicious has come out of the Emancipation down the bottom, race eight, number 13. So we're now at 11. The extras, Artistry, race two, number one, New Tipperary, race four, number six, and Zenilicious, race eight, number 13.
I think most of those have been on, probably not Zenilicious, but the other two are probably expected, and I thought there's a little query on Prized Icon as well, personally, but... Yeah,
could still be.
There's something got to be done with this rule, this AR151.
With our Ivanhoe?
Yeah, because all these horses are waiting to the last minute to scratch, and it's affecting betting, because... The reason is because if they scratch before race day or race morning and they transfer the meeting, they can't be reinstated. Yep. So if they said this meeting was going to Tuesday, so the horses that scratch on Friday can't be reinstated.
Yep.
And so this morning, the horses that are scratched this morning under the rule can be reinstated if we transfer the meeting. So with these doubts on weather, it does affect... You know, early betting into these races.
Could have been the case last week in Slipper too.
Yeah.
Ronnie, is that a new rule or has it been around all the time?
I don't know. It was only brought to my attention a few weeks ago.
Well, I think it's only come to our attention because of all the wet weather.
Probably.
It may have been sitting. We can ask Mark Van Gestel.
Yeah, because, you know, look, it's happened a couple of weeks ago. And I did bring it up with Mark and he said it's a rule we're going to be looking at. So I think he's very
aware of it.
Much aware of it.
Okay, this is Racing HQ Saturday. Ron Duffacy and Mike Fraser with us, and Lee Curtis is joining us, the trainer of Lasquiti Spirit, lining up in the Group 1 BMW. Morning to you, Lee.
Good morning, boys.
Ready to go, mate. How is she? It's interesting. It's one that gains a lot of discussion because, Lee, many people say, what the hell is he doing here, running in these races against older horses? But this has been a plan all the way, hasn't it, to get a right for the big one in a couple of weeks, the Oaks?
Look, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was a plan. I wanted to have 2 weeks between runs. I wanted to have a mile and a half run going into the Oaks.
Mm.
And, you know, the only reason I'm sort of been keen to really step her up is because she's slow. I mean, if I'd have raced those fillies in any of those races, they'd have just lapped me. And I think it would be the same with the Vinery. I think they're just too speedy for her. She's just so dour. And that's why she's just so dour. She's got no tactical speed, and she's very little tactical speed, and she's got no turn of foot. And so we think, I think she's pretty much ineffective below a mile and a half.
Hey, well, it worked for you in the spring. You give her that mile and a half lead up at Kembla Grange, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
She's tough, isn't she?
She's extremely tough. You know, I noticed, like, earlier on, you know, when she had her first start, and even prior to that, every horse, like, does its work here at the track, and I'll pull up around, around the 1200. She'll keep going an extra two furlongs every morning, every time you do any work with her. She's just so clean, winded, so aerobic, and I haven't seen a horse like her in that respect.
Mm. Like, we're talking a mile and a half race today. You know, is she ready to do her thing today? You know, like, do her let's run along today, or do you save that up for the Oaks? Well, I don't want to delve into your tactics.
She'll do it today. I mean, she had, just going back to that run she had at Kembla before the Oaks, it was a real gut buster. And, you know, a lot of horses would have floored them, but just brought her on. She's just that sort of horse. I mean, I wouldn't attempt this with any other horse, really, but she's just shown to me that she's up for it, and she'll go forward. I mean, we've got no weight, so we're going to go forward and try and skip along and see how we go.
Are you convinced that she's going better than what she was in the spring?
Well, she would have had to improve. I mean, she was running around, besides the Oaks, she was running around in maidens and class ones. So once she won the Oaks, she had to improve, like, length anyway. But she's not running around in those races. She's running around in group races, and she's performing, so... That tells you, I think, she's improved a lot.
Mm. And your thoughts with her on a pretty heavy track?
Yeah, I'd actually prefer it dry, but she's saying that she can handle it. I mean, she went to that race behind Winks, and she handled it, you know, better than most. So she does get through going, yeah.
Mm. All right, well, she's got a big fan club, and I'm sure they're going to get a bit of a sight today, but she's one thing's for certain, she's ticking along beautifully for the Oaks.
Yeah, she is, absolutely. And we're very happy with her.
And the other key today, Jay's been doing nothing wrong, but you get that Oaks combination back today with Brenton Abdullah back on?
Yeah, like, as you said, I mean, full credit to Jay. He got on knowing that he wasn't going to be on in the big ones, and he helped us a lot, and I really appreciate it. But, you know, obviously Brenton is going to be on a bit of a mission. He's, you know, having won the Oaks and do what he did. And I've heard him interview. I haven't spoken to him, but I've heard him interviewed, and, you know, I like what he's been saying all week.
Yeah, no, he's been positive.
Confident job.
Yeah, he is. Lee, thank you for your time, mate. Good luck today.
Thanks, guys.
Lee Curtis there, trainer of Lasquiti Spirit. And my introduction may have got his sort of back up a little bit. There's people out there, you know, people in the racing industry are. They go, well, why is a filly taking on them? But she's proven, you know, this is, and Lee's explained it there.
Yeah.
This is the plot is to win the Oaks, and we've got to prepare her for that.
And for her to be ready for that, she should run well today.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a, yeah,
she could lead for a fair way today.
Look, it's a BMW. It's not hard. They're not easy to win.
No.
And especially doing all the donkey work up front. But she's going to, you're right, she's going to run considering her pattern. But we'll just see how the pattern unfolds, whether the leaders are getting a fair go. You know,
yeah.
If it's on pace, the better chance she's got.
Mike, what I mean, apart from her, Lasquiti Spirit in the BMW, what's going to be up there? I mean, the rest going to be just back, just dawdling along and running their own race, but is there something that can put pressure on her?
Well, I don't know about putting pressure on her, but I would imagine that a horse like Jamaica up and running now and getting to her pet distance of 2400, she's not going to be too far away. Then it's probably a bit of a guessing game. You know, maybe Humidor, it won't be far away either, but I think Jamaica's the one that'll drop in just behind her. But just on Lasquiti Spirit, I mean, she was made to do a fair bit of work the other day, and she should be a lot fitter for that run at Rose Hill. I remember her when she ran that good race in that 2400-metre race at Kembla. It had nothing to do with me. My son found her. He said, oh, this one goes all right. And he had something on her in the Oaks at Flemington at 100-1, so... You know, I think he's hoping she comes back well. But, look, she'll lead, and she, you know, she'll be in front for quite a while.
Okay, just recapping here at Rose Hill. It's a heavy 9 this morning, the rail at 6 metres, penetrometer 6.34. The Newcastle meeting today is now on the course proper. It was transferred yesterday from the Beaumont. Astern is going there for an exhibition gallop between races 1 and 2. Talking with John O'Shea yesterday, he's just been one of those affecting so many horses, Ron.
For sure.
That they wanted to get to a trial. It was rain affected during the week, so they've taken the option of galloping on a soft 6 today.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can talk to John about that later.
Yeah. So that's there. Now, tomorrow, the wild card meeting originally set down for Musselbrook is being now run at Scone. We'll get a track report updated on that over the next half an hour. Tomorrow's meeting at Nowra has already been called off. The Shoalhaven Club have been hit by so much rain. And the casino to tab meeting today has also been called off. So we're losing meetings because of, well, it's been extraordinary, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's just freakish weather.
Yeah, it's just been unbelievable.
Well, I think they've done a good job to get, you know, a lot of these meetings
through
yeah, and transferred, yeah, bit of yeah, toing and froing, but
yeah, yeah,
we've got most of them through.
Ron Quinton's joining us now to have a chat about, well, 2 and the Emancipation. Ron, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. This will be a special race for you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. You know, having had the association with Emancipation throughout a career, and it would be good. I actually won 18 races on her. She was a champion there. It would be fitting. I won it with Faith Hill some years ago.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if we could do it again.
What were Emancipation's 2 best wins in your mind, Ron?
One day at Warwick Farm, I think it was maybe the Chipping Norton. I think she beat a horse called Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
It was horses like Mr. McGinty, Stalby Road, and those type of horses in the race. And they went out and won the first 4 in 46. And so it was just a real test. I think that was one of her strongest wins. And, of course, when she won the Doncaster as a 3-year-old filly, carrying 1.5 overweight for age, I think that was pretty special.
Mm, she was... We forget how good she was.
Yeah.
these two mares today, Dixie Blossoms. Obviously, she had no luck in the Coolmore. How she recovered from that?
Yeah, she knew she had the run, that's for sure. But she seems to have bounced back pretty well, so I'm pretty happy with her. But, yes, she just didn't have any luck at all. Things didn't pan out at all. So, yeah, I think you can forget about that.
And the other mare...
Yeah, well, Daisy, she ran out of the skin. She only had 51 in that particular race, so she meets some of these other mares on a bit worse terms today, being a set weight and penalty race. But I don't think that'll bother her too much.
Mm. Yeah, we had a look. I know it's easy for us to sit back and map the races, but your fillies look the two fastest fillies if you want to use their speed on paper.
Yeah, it's a... certainly, Daisy goes forward, and she'll have no trouble doing that. Dixie's a little bit different because she's normally outside, and that's what happened the other day. She Tim was a little bit sort of progressive on her, and then nothing went right. She was just never going to get in. It was no one's fault. It was just one of those way that panned out, you know. Mm. So. There don't appear to be a lot of natural speed in the race outside probably Daisy Doom. Mm. The rest, I guess, it doesn't look as though there's a terrible lot of rocket commander, I suppose, will go forward a bit. She can keep up. It doesn't look too much else. Ostensible, well, she could be there. She's run well, been up close before, but I think they like to see her ridden a bit quiet. But, Jason will have to just have his thinking cap on in the early part of the race and work out where he's going to go.
Just on your two here, particularly Dixie Blossoms, we know that Tim Clark was going to ride Zenalicious and it's come out. Did he have a choice or how did that play out, Ron?
It played out this way that it was owner privilege.
Yep.
And... that's how it worked out.
Okay, so Jason Collard takes the ride. So that just to get some clarity whether Tim was, it doesn't matter now anyway because the other one's scratched, but it just seems like they're in pretty good places going into the race, and you've well explained where they're going to be in the race.
Yeah, no, I think they're two mares that are well placed in the race, and Dixie's had very strong form throughout, so she only got beat three quarters of length in the Meyer Group One in Melbourne, and hasn't that form stood up?
Yeah,
for sure.
And obviously the wet tracks, no real issue with both mares. They're genuine all the way through on all tracks.
Yeah, they seem to handle it pretty well, Ron, yeah.
All right, good on you, mate. Good luck today. I hope they both run really well in a race that you've explained that would be to win it for a second time. It'd obviously give you a big thrill. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks a lot.
Ron Quinton talking about his two in today's Emancipation, Dixie Blossoms and Daisy Doom. It was interesting that Tim Clark, just how it's played out, obviously. The owner has decided to go with Collett. Tim now misses out, obviously, with Zenalicious, but I guess it's the owner's right.
My word is he's the one man paying the bills. And look, Tim's a... very loyal to Les anyway.
Yes, no. And I must admit, I did speak to Tim this week off air about it, and he said that I probably would have ridden for Les anyway because I'm obligated to him.
I've seen him get off better chances to stick with Les.
To ride with Les,
They do go back a bit with some nice horses.
Yeah, exactly. We've got an extra coming through. Race one, number nine. Ron, did we have it out? Reflectivity?
No, we didn't.
Okay, so it's come out. Race one, number nine. Makes it 12 at this stage. Lee Friedman's our next guest on Racing HQ Saturday. Morning to you, Lee.
G'day, Hoss.
Good to talk to you, mate. Obviously, disappointment with our Ivanhoe having to be scratched. Just take us through the week in the Friedman's thoughts so we can get the feeling of whether the horse was a chance of getting there.
Oh, well, we probably think differently to maybe owners or punters and that, because we, primarily after he pulled up with that sort of wrench after last Saturday, it was always going to be an uphill battle. So, we did the work that we're allowed to do, because certain treatments, you know, have to be within a prescribed time. And we did what we could do, and in the end, we got close, but we didn't get there. But look, you know, it's not the end of the world. We did win a Group 1 within the week before. Yes, it would have been very, very good to back up and do it, but these things rarely happen as you script them. So, you know, we're just happy that the horse is in his box safe and well.
Is he safe and well for the championships, or do you just stop and go to the spring?
Well, Ron, I don't know. We'll keep him around while the weather's around. That gives us the opportunity to do some more work with him and get that joint settled right down. If it settles down, he could be a Queen Elizabeth runner, you know, to give Winx her first defeat.
Like your confidence.
you started laughing before you said it.
I knew you got it out, I know. Anyway, you've got to be positive in this game. You know, it's all about being positive. And but look, if he's not right, then go to the paddock. And I don't know what his future would be beyond that, because spring in Melbourne, particularly at the tracks where he races, is notoriously firm. And then he's 8 years old. Yeah, so anyway, it's a discussion to be had later on.
Yeah, anyway, it was a great...
It's disappointing, because he was so bloody good last week, Lee, wasn't he?
Great result last week.
You can't have disappointment in this game, Hoss, because you'd spend your life eternally disappointed.
All is not lost, because Exus Ferric is maybe the forgotten horse here.
Well, look, there's no doubting he's the horse that can win the race if the ground had been, you know, normal, you know, even dead slow, but... On this sort of ground, we've mulled over all night whether we'll run him, and his owner, Aussie Care, was a terrific guy. He's really keen, understands that he quite possibly could be useless on the ground, but he wants to see the horse run, and I respect that, because they've paid a lot of money for the horse, and the horse is very, very ready to run the race with life. Whether he can handle that ground, I've no idea.
So is there any history with him not handling the ground?
Well, you get all sorts of reports from the UK, you know. Stouty will tell you one thing, and then the strapper will tell you another thing, and nothing's changed out there. That's
no.
In terms of telling fibs, I think. But we're not too sure, to be honest. The timing's perfect for the horse. I thought he was our leading chance on any ground better than Heavy Eight. He was the one to win the race, but... You know, it's in a cocked hat now with the way that the track's going to be. And it's not really, there's not a rating for it, I would imagine. It's probably a heavy 15 or something.
One runner at Mornington, Cliffhanger, in race 8. He's in great form.
Yeah, he's in good form. He's turned the corner of that horse since he was gelded. He was a bit of a rat as a colt, and we gelded him. He's come back. His form's been unbelievable this time in. And look, he's a great chance in that race.
And other than today, the horses are in pretty good. The horses are racing well.
Yeah, he's very happy with them. Just wish Cool Chap would get out of
Canada.
He's very much a herd animal. He likes the others come to him. He's just a bit of a think about it. But I'll bring him back up here in 3 weeks. He's going to do some schooling in between. I might make a couple of gear changes on him. As I said to Anthony this morning, look, it's annoying what he does. But I said the good thing is he's got plenty of ability, so we can sort that part of him out. Not too far away.
Well, I just want to go back to the track. It's rated a heavy 9 this morning, and they've galloped a couple on it. And obviously, looking out here where we are at Rose Hill, there's no rain around, and it's not meant to be till late. If it was a 9...
I still wouldn't know.
Yeah, okay, righto.
But the Jockey Club win was rated soft, but interestingly, the time didn't back up the rating. In other words, they ran about standard time, 2:30 for a mile and a half, and yet they were saying it was soft ground. He won easily, but I don't believe that. The time doesn't back up what the track was rated, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck. Let's hope he can handle it.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah. Thanks, Lee. Lee Friedman joining us there from Melbourne, going through them. Ollie was sort of in one of those positions last run at Flemington where you had to be close to the inside rail.
That's right.
And the suggestion was that if he'd just come off and come, he probably could have won it.
Yeah.
But he was trying to do the right thing by the way the track was running.
He was riding to bias, but at that stage today, they're all doing the same thing, and there's only so much room for so many horses.
Yeah, yeah. He's right, Lee, isn't he? You can't be disappointed in racing.
No, because it'll get the better of you.
Yeah. You ever disappointed, Mike?
In racing? Plenty of times.
Yeah, was it?
Plenty of times. I'll tell you when I was disappointed one day, when I laid 7-2 on the oval at Randwick.
Oh, geez.
Remember it?
He had the thumps or the fence jumper.
Oh, he had something. He was 300 metres behind him, and I won't tell you how much I had on him, but I reckon
he was the first ever case of the thumps. That's where they just... When 72 on chance has got lapped, they said, we've got to find a new name. It was the thumps, and it stuck around.
You think if he had the thumps, you should see what I had. Oh, God.
Now, scratchings are going to go in from in a moment, but Lanciado's come out of the fourth, race four, number 10, and Whispered Secrets come out of race one, number 14.
She's at Newcastle, I think.
Okay, righto. And
what was the first one?
Lanciato.
Okay.
James Cummings has tweeted to me, any idea what time they ran in the gallop on the Rosehill course proper this morning?
You wouldn't know how to use it. See, how are you going to clock a horse from here?
Well, exactly. I didn't say that I did clock.
You could have used that big iPad of yours. Got the phone.
Well,
got the
I have got vision of the gallop.
Have you?
I've got vision of the last 300 metres of the gallop. It was two of Gerald Ryan's.
Did you get their names?
Yes. Fournette or Fournette and Pimble. And I'll be tweeting that in the next little while.
Okay.
But it was only the last 300 metres because it was still pitch dark. But people will be able to see that, and they did gallop it. And
they might be able to clock it off your vision.
Well, they can only do the last 300, Ron, because it was dark. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back. We'll have interim scratchings and still, John O'Shea and still plenty of other key interviews to come.
Easter means golden Easter egg carnival time.
Get the latest on Wentworth Park Easter Carnival with expert Mark Duclos.
Going Greyhounds.
Monday morning at 10:30 here on Sky Sports Radio.
Be a part of the Dynamic Syndications team. Having been active at the Magic Millions New Zealand Premier and English yearling sales, Dynamic proudly offer owners the highest quality yearlings by Reader's Choice, Fastnet Rock, Lonro, Medaglia Doro, Smart Missile, All Too Hard, Piero, and First Crop Size Sizzling, Epaulette, and Dundeel. All yearlings passed our vigorous selection criteria and a full vet inspection. Find out more. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love a $150,000 first four jackpot on the BMW at Rosehill Gardens today and a $20,000 first four jackpot on the Gold Cup at Wentworth Park tonight. Now you can check your ticket and collect your winnings anytime, anywhere. Check, collect, celebrate with the Tab app. So place a bet you'll never forget on your Tab app, online at tab.com.au or at your local Tab today. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Find your rising star at the 2017 Capricornia Yearling Sale in Rockhampton. 95 quality yearlings, all eligible for the $200,000 Capricornia Race Series. 16 are Bob's eligible and 82 Cutis eligible, including the $250,000 Cutis Jewel. Aquas Farm Lots carry a $100,000 winner's bonus for the 2018 two-year-old sale race. Visit cqtba.com. Phone bids accepted.
Don't miss your opportunity to trade your weanlings and broodmares to Australia's biggest buying bench at the 2017 Inglis Australian Broodmare and Weanling Sale. April 10 to 12, Newmarket, Sydney. Supplementary entries close April 3. Visit inglis.com.au.
Racing HQ is brought to you by Tab. Bet you'll love our $150,000 first four jackpot on the BMW at Rosehill Gardens today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Racing HQ Saturday always gives you the up-to-date information on the biggest race day of the week. Rose Hill, for our TV viewers, you're now seeing a bit of sunshine on either side of our windows here. And the good news is the track is now a heavy 9. The Penno is 6.34. And these are the interim scratchings. Race 1, number 8, Merchant Navy. 9, Reflect Tippity. 11, Fager. And 14, Whispered Secret. 8, 9, 11 and 14 out of the first. Race 2, number 1, Artistry, and 5, Savaro, 1 and 5. The third is Clear. Race 4, number 6, New Tipperary, and 10, Lanciato, 6 and 10. Race 5, number 3, Rising Red, and 4, Akatur, 3 and 4. Race 6, number 1, Al Ivanhoe is out of the BMW. Race 6, number 1. Race 7, number 8, Cassidy is out. Race 7, number 8. And race 8, the last scratchings are 1, First Seal, and 13, Zenalicious. 1 and 13. So 14 scratchings, and it's a case, Ron and Mike, that these trainers, they're unsure whether the horses will handle it, but they've got to have today's runs with the championships and maybe April 15 as their next races. They've got to maintain fitness and get them there.
Yeah, it's all programming. It gets a bit tricky this time of year. Trainers have got to, you know, work out, does this horse have to have this run? Can I keep it, the work up to him on the track? And some horses that have never handled it, well, you've got to try.
Got to have a go.
It's exactly that stage, doesn't it?
Now, just before we go to Helen Page, just a mention of last night, the William Reid of Moonee Valley, Silent Sedition, tipped by our very own Mark Hunter on radio yesterday morning. It scored a narrow victory over Hellbent. And then we've learnt this morning that Caitlin Mathian, the rider of the winner, has copped a suspension for interference to Hellbent at about the 900. No protest.
Yeah, I found that intriguing. If you reading the steward's report and then looking at the result of Neck, and, you know, Hellbent was inside Silent Sedition, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm a jockey, I give it a go. I just say, look, I had a four deep, no cover. She was staying there until she knocked me down and, you know, throw a bit of topspin on it. I find it intriguing that he didn't have a go, considering the steward's report blatantly says shifted in and checked. That's the word. Not hampered, checked.
Could it be simply that it was 900
once
from
I
home?
It's still worth a try. The stumps, they've upheld a couple 900 from home there not long ago. I'll go back through the records and pull out a case. Yeah. But, look, I might see the head on or the overhead shot and say, oh, well, I can understand why they didn't protest. Yeah. But as an outsider, looking at a steward's report and reading that, it makes you, if you're on Hellbent, you feel a little bit sick in the stomach.
Beating the neck.
But still, that filly, that mare that won it, deserved it, because she should have bolted in the Coolmore.
Yeah, that's right, Silent Sedition. Did you see it, Mike, just briefly?
No, I didn't, but I was just asking Ronnie, just really quickly, did you see the protest the previous Friday night there?
No, I didn't. No.
The one they upheld?
No, I missed it.
Okay. Worth
a look at?
We'll go back and have a look.
I'm flabbergasted it was upheld, but anyway, that's racing.
Probably gives us more reason why Damien may have thrown in one last night.
What did you think of one of the first at Ramwick? First here last week.
In all honesty, I think if they prepare a track like that where the jockeys are forced to go searching for better ground where they get out 15 or 16 wide, there's got to be some tiny allowance for that. I think the fact that they came together at the 300 and Craig Williams, to my eye, was like a half head in front. They came apart. He was still in front. They came together at the 200. Craig Williams was a half head in front. They separated. He was a half head in front. So I just want to know where he lost the ground. That's all I want to know. I'm a bit bemused. It was touch and go, but I don't think it was such a clear cut result for me. Anyway, I probably would have dismissed it, but I'm not a steward.
Well, the Palantino one, that's the one I was thinking of. 800 metres out, they upheld that one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, sorry.
Yep. Let's go to Helen Page. She's been very patient online, Ron. You're going to have to take it up with her personally that you've held her online for three
She's
or four
a busy
minutes.
Lady.
Helen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You can blame Ron for sitting there and waiting. Where are you? At the airport? Are you in town already?
Yeah, I'm at the airport, so it's been entertaining. At least it's better than...
It wouldn't have been entertaining if you were a part of the protest. Anyway, you've got Rudy in today. How's the horse?
Horse is great. He's a grand old campaigner. He's probably a couple of lengths off being a top horse, but he's a good, honest horse, and he handles all types of tracks. He's fit and well, and so he's there today.
Did he run third in this race last year, Helen?
He did, and Craig Williams rode him, and he said to me prior to the race, look, you've got to be on the fence to win, you can't win from back, blah-de-da. He summed it straight up, and sure enough, he went straight to the front, put him to the fence, he's running third, let a couple go around, running third and ran third. You know, he rode him a treat, and I think if we ride him as to how the track's playing, he'll give us a good honest run.
Do you think he's going as well as last year?
Yes.
Okay. Looks a lovely race for him. I don't think it's a strong race. And he, like you said, he ticks that heavy track box. And invariably, his second up runs a lot better than his first up run, which was good.
That's right. He had to have a start before this started. And have much luck the other day, but that was okay. This is the main part of his campaign, so let's hope we have a bit of luck now.
Well, he's such a consistent horse. I know many putters are out there probably saying we'd love him to, you know, we would have loved him to won a race along the road. He's always been in the markets, but he, as you say at the start, he's just so consistent.
He is, and, you know, up here we get weighted out of our races, and we've got a great relief in weight today, and he's a good, honest horse, very keen and genuine, so, you know, I think he should give it a shake.
Good luck, Helen. Safe travels down. We'll see you at the track.
Thanks, guys.
Alan Page there, the trainer of Rudy, who lines up in the Doncaster prelude today. Doncaster and the four group ones for next Saturday, all those barriers are out on Tuesday morning. We'll be broadcasting them here on Sky Sports Radio as well as Sky Thoroughbred Central at 10:30 for the Doncaster and the Derby. But hopefully between 9 and 10 on Tuesday morning on Sky Sports Radio, we'll be giving the draws as well for the TJ Smith and the, what's the other group one?
Yes, there's
there's another group one anyway.
They've switched a few around.
Yeah, but no, they'll come.
So are they coming out Tuesday?
They'll come out Tuesday, yeah.
That's fantastic. Get some form done.
Yeah, so all Tuesday morning from 9 o'clock on Sky Sports Radio, we'll have it fully covered, and then the draws at 10:30. Now, this is always dangerous because there's people waking up in the mornings and they're listening or watching us, and they're yet to turn on social media and the like. But we urge people to go and have a look at social media and have a look at a race from Newbury, which was run at about 4:15 Sydney time this morning, where a horse was so far in front, you would have just absolutely thought this is just a dead set moral to win. Suddenly, the jockey eased it down to a stage where I could have walked quicker for 100 metres, and suddenly two horses appear and go straight past it, and the horse gets beaten. It was just one of the absolute Barry Crockers you've ever seen. And now it comes out, Ron, that he misjudged the winning post.
Yeah, that's what he thought. He'd hit the winning post. He was an amateur rider. James Ridley was his name. He's actually sent out a tweet.
A tweet, has he?
Yeah, completely gutted for misjudging the winning post today. Sorry for everyone involved. Well,
what
thanks more very much for that, James.
Yeah.
If you're on it,
Mike. If it was, I urge people to go.
He got 28 days. He would have got 28 years if it was a day like today.
Now, as I say, you need to see it. It's hard to actually.
I'll try and get it out for Sunday's show.
Yeah, and look, people can go and say, and look, even if you went to Google and put it in, it's going to come up. It's an absolute shocker. There's a jockey. There's a horse without a jockey, with behind him. But he was so far in front you couldn't even see the second or third horses, and then he eased it down so quickly, and these two horses just absolutely come over the top and run first and second.
It was bizarre.
Trent Busserton doesn't want anything bizarre today. I want it before we bring in Trent. Hey, Mike.
Yes, mate.
Over the road to Ridges last night, we're in the bar just having. Well, I had three, and Ron had one beer before he said, "No, I've got to go. I've got to do more form. I've got to go." But we walked into the owners of Tavago, and then the owners of Humidor joined us as well, or one of the owners of Humidor. I left them at the bar. They were in very, well, they were starting to get animated.
Who's
going to be winning? Where are we going to be?
They
all this sort of stuff.
Straight for me, because I called it an ugly duckling or something. And the lady said, oh, he's no oil painting. And I knew exactly what she was talking about.
She'd heard you. Trent Busserton is online, the trainer of Tavago. Trent, a couple of your owners from New Zealand over the road last night having a couple of ales. They were up and about, mate. I hope this horse runs well for them today.
Oh, they got photos through of two celebrities with them. They were very excited.
Yes, we were there. They wanted photos and things. And I'm playing it up. They didn't get animated or anything that. But they were discussing their horses. And you love them.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, Trent, but this bloke, one of the blokes that we were talking to, was really big. And it was the first horse that he's ever been in is Tabago.
Yeah, Craig and Pam, yeah, and they're certainly excited, as they should be, but, yeah, the first horse who've had anything to do with, and he's turned out a derby winner, so very lucky.
They're not the only ones excited. I've never heard you so bullish this week. You're usually back, you know, back on the fence a bit.
Look, I certainly think the horse will be hard to beat. He's probably in career best form. He's bright. He's finally holding condition. Like last year, going into the Derby, he looked like a hunted dog. He looked terrible, but he got the job done. But finally, he's starting to mature, and his work's been top class. And he's come out of that last race and improved. And look at under no illusions, like Jamaica and Humidor. They're obviously top Group One horses, but just looking back through the form, we beat Jamaica fair and square last year, and under some similar conditions, and we beat Humidor over a mile and a half. So we get conditions to suit, so there's no reason why I think he can't win.
Mm. He's obviously trained on well from that last start win.
Yeah, and he was only second up, and sort of Blake summed it up in his pre-race gallop. He said he's worked well enough to win, but whatever he does on Saturday, he's going to take a great deal of improvement out of. And he sat on him again on Tuesday in his final piece of solid work, and said that his gallop this time in was a lot better than before the Sky High Stakes. So he's dappled up, and he's ready to go.
Is it fair to say, is it too early in his career to say he's a better horse in the autumn than the spring, or did he have excuses in the spring?
That's the obvious conclusion at this stage, but I think you just got to put a line through the spring. He just got sick, he got a virus, simple as that. I mean, as a three-year-old in New Zealand, he won a couple of races in the spring, so obviously in those, you know, spring carnival, there's no better racing in the world to get the top liners, and you have to be absolutely on top of your game. And I don't think it was a fair indication of the horse. Like, he didn't get beat three or four lengths, and you could say he wasn't up to him. He got beat a furlong, so he just clearly wasn't right.
Just changing the subject, you obviously Tavago won the Derby. You're looking pretty strong. This Anaheim's really catching the attention.
Yeah, he's one horse that we want firm going for. Usually, you know, the Kiwi bred horses, you're just happy to see it wet, but we thought all along he'll make a nice mile and a half horse, but we got to the Rosehill Guineas last week and Hugh Bowman rode him, and he was travelling up enormous in behind Ginger Nuts at the 800, and sort of when he asked him to go, the wheels just got spinning a bit on the wet track, and Ginger Nuts was off and gone. But I know we're not going to get a firm track, but if we could get a dry track, you know, sort of in the slow range, and we can draw a barrier and put himself there, he's definitely going to get some of it. Whether we can turn around the, you know, beating the winner, beating the Rosehill Guineas winner seems a bit hard, but he'll go a good race, and he should pick up some of the money.
Well, did Bowman want to stick with him? Is he going to ride him in the Derby?
Yes, he's confirmed from in the Derby, so he was quite confident, you know, the horse could go close.
One runner at Mornington, El Sicorio, any hope second up?
Look, he's been very disappointing. He's got a heap of natural ability, but he just wants to do things back to front, just wants to jump and run 100 miles an hour. So we're just trying to get him to basically settle and, you know, learn to relax a bit. And so the 1,000 might be a bit short for him. He's probably looking for further, but sort of the way the horse has been carrying on, it's all about getting him to do it right. So he's got a bit of cover. He's drawn 3, so I just want to see him relax and hit the line strong.
And Trent, just on the three-year-old Rising Red, can we take the horse out of the Derby?
Yes, he's definitely out. He's on a float back to Melbourne on Monday, and we'll give him 10 days in the paddock and reevaluate whether we can have a look at Adelaide or Brisbane, or that we'll be out for a longer period.
Okay, we'll wait and see on that. And I know you're based at Cranbourne now with Natalie, or with your growing stable there, but have you got any feeling from home, New Zealand, about John Snow?
Look, you just got a Murray Baker when he travels them. You just, you know, they win, basically. And just the New Zealand Derby form's obviously very strong with, you know, Ginger Nuts, and he's come out and beaten them. And they're pretty confident, I think, with this horse, but very seldom does he get it wrong, Murray, when he comes over here. If they're not winning, they're going close to it. So, he's got to be very hard to beat, I think.
Good on you, Trent. Thanks for your time, mate. Good luck today. All the owners of Tavago and Humidor and all the others that we met last night, we hope their horses run well. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Trent. Trent Bussett, and they're all watching us across the ridges. They said they were going to get up early and watch us. Good. So Craig and Lloyd.
How many beers do they have?
I left them. No, I left them. By the way, that other race at the draw out on Tuesday is the size, of course, for the two-year-old. So between 9 and 10, we're hoping to have the TJ Smith and the size draws. And then at 10:30, you'll have the draws for the Doncaster and the Derby live on Sky Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central. John O'Shea's our last guest of the morning before we delve into the scratchings and get going with our preview. Morning to you, John.
Morning, how are you, mate?
Very well, mate. Just before Ron talks about today, you're taking a Stern to Newcastle for that course proper gallop a week out from the TJ Smith. Are we reading it that not everything's just gone right because of all the wet weather with a Stern?
Yeah, you can guarantee a list of things to have gone wrong in the preparation for him. It's definitely been the case, but I suppose he's no different to all the other trainers and other horses in preparation for the carnival, but I think it's probably been exacerbated by, you know, the fact that we're trying to get him ready first up and the trials have been imperative and they just haven't sort of fallen as we'd like, or, you know, they've been washed out, etc. And we'd love to just poke him across to Rose Hill today, but, you know, the stewards are adamant the ground's just a little bit too wet. That's probably a fair assessment too, so we had to load him on a float and send him up to the track where we know we can get a decent enough surface.
Not ideal conditions today here either, John, but you've got some lovely runners. Astoria looks a nice colt. 1,100 to 1,400, any issue?
It's definitely not the right preparation, Ron, but again, it's just the way, you know, we had him ready a little bit earlier and then the meeting got washed out, so he ended up having to run first up at a 5.5, and, you know, we never had time to get another run into him. So but he's a genuine miler, a genuine wet tracker, and a genuine colt, so... But, you know, it's just not the ideal preparation.
Okay. Wide draw, positive or negative?
I think, you know, being that he's 1,100 to 1,400, we'll just let him sort of roll forward a little and see if he can't get himself into a nice position in the first front of the half of the field.
Marsupials comes out of that funny run race at Canberra, but he maps well here.
And had the right preparation, Ron. You know, he's fourth up. He's had a couple of goes at six, and... And he's going to get a beautiful run, and, you know, he's got a bit of wet track form, so he's probably touch over odds.
Race two impending, he gets his chance now, third up, dropping in grade. He just sets up well, and it was an improved run last time.
Yeah, we were really happy with him second up in a really strong class race, and, you know, again, very, very heavy ground second up, probably just the last 100 found him out, but that'll toughen him up for today. There's probably the only query, he's, you know, his pattern of racing will be probably not going to be in a forward position. He just probably, you know, just worse than midfield. Doesn't look to be a lot of speed. And we hope he can make up ground down the centre of the track, you know, being Rose Hill with the rail out thick. So, but, you know, I can't fault the horse, and he's going particularly well, and he's improved a good bit since his second up run.
Floodlight's an interesting runner. You were open about him probably needing a run first up. What about him today?
Yeah, he's made nice improvement, Ron, and he gets to a trick where he's most effective at, you know, 10 furlongs, jarring the ground, and, yeah, I thought he mapped really well, and, you know, look, he's probably still got, you know, a good bit of improvement in him, but he's sufficiently well enough to run well here.
Spectroscope did the job well at his Australian debut. It's a tougher race today. How's he progressed?
Yeah, he's made nice improvement. He's a quality horse. William was, you know, really enamoured with him when he got off him. Probably the only query for him is, you know, as I went through his French form, he got beat one day on heavy ground, and the rider commented he wasn't overly happy on it. So, you know, I think he's okay dead to slow. Whether he's going to be as effective in the real heavy, yet to be seen. But I think he's a quality horse, Ron, and we'd really like him if he could win today. We'll run him next week if he was able to win.
Okay. You've thrown the kitchen sink at Honey Wine today, all sorts of gear changes.
Well, he's bamboozling us, Ron. He hasn't been the most genuine conveyance. We did the right thing by him and give him an easy spring and gelded him and brought him back, and he's probably become less genuine as a gelding than what he was at Colt. So, that is sort of thinking about him. Yeah, look, he's trialled beautifully and he's worked for me beautifully, just not bringing on race day. So, but we're hoping to just let him find his feet there today and he'll give a good account of himself and bounce back. You know, he trialled, you know, really, really well the other day. So Kieran, I think, rode him and was very happy with his efforts, but you know, to say that he's been inconsistent on race day is probably an understatement.
Couple of runners in the last hand fast, probably the right sort of race for him.
It is, and I'm just going to mention that Stewards will probably ride him a little quieter today. I think he's just been on speed. He probably just needs to be ridden that pair or two back and finish his race off. But I wouldn't underestimate the chances of Ancient History. William probably just, the way the race panned out at Camberley, they had him in a much further fourth position than he appreciates. He's a much better horse ridden with the sit, and you get that opportunity today. He's trained on nicely, down in the weights, and I'm sure he'd be effective in the heavy ground.
Okay, well, we'll look for an improvement from him. Just quickly, a couple of runners in Melbourne. Toga Pictor, it was okay in the size?
Yeah, good in the size. Got to the wrong part of the track on, you know, that leaderish Flemington. He was three wide, which is sort of in the straight, which is, you know, about two further out than you needed to be. But he was very good in the last 100. Step 1500 will suit him. He probably will be one day that'll be a little better when he gets home in the Chelmsford and get his toe in the ground a bit, Ron, but he's a really nice colt, and I know the boys are happy with him in Melbourne.
Okay, Tally, just that track was against him the other day in race 7?
Yeah, back to handicap, back to a mile and a half, but, you know, to be fair, I think if Charlie's horse, I think the boys are pretty happy there, and a firm ground will suit him, and he probably does look to have a bit on him, but Tally will be very competitive, and he'll put himself into the race. You know, it's a genuine mile and a half.
And race 9, Maternal resuming. Very good last preparation.
Good last prep and trial really well this time, Ronnie. So, you know, my feelings would be that she would be in need of the run. She's just a little bit bigger than normal, but, you know, going into a first up run. But, you know, they're very, again, I think the team are pretty bullish on her, and I thought they said her work was very sharp on Tuesday morning. So, you know, I'd look to see her closing late.
Beautiful.
Good luck, John. And Charlie Appleby's horse there, the Gold Trial, we're putting that in front of it. Today down there in the Mornington Cup, the winner of that race gets a start in the Caulfield Cup. We'll see you here later, John.
Look forward to seeing you, boys.
Thanks, mate. John O'Shea going through them. Now, breakfast is coming.
What's come up with today?
No, well, are you there, Mike?
Yes, mate.
Mate, I don't want to hold up too much time. I've got to do the scratchings. We're live on air. Munzee, have you got your breakfast order? This is what Glenn has brought us. Now, I know he wants to talk about it more a little while later. Come on, Glenn, we're live on air. You've got two of them in your hand there.
What is that stuff?
Now, for our TV audience, you can now see it, I hope. It's a muesli. I don't want to go too hard because Glenn's wife Denise has made it, but I just can't see you eating a muesli on a Saturday morning.
There we go.
This is your go, Rod. This is the sausage roll.
Where's the sauce?
The sausage roll or the muesli. Good luck, Glenn. Denise, the better half of Glenn, we do appreciate you doing breakfast for us.
But a lot of effort's gone into that.
Well, there's strawberries and there's nuts and there's blueberries and everything. Ron, I think you deserve to have a crack, Mike. I don't know whether there's seeds on top there.
I better go out and try it. You just finish off this segment.
I'll do the scratchings. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn's brought in the coffees. Mike, if only you were here.
Oh, exactly. I'm sitting here by myself with... Oh, look at this. Where's your apron, Munz?
All right, well, you go and enjoy your muesli.
I'll have to go to the toilet after that, I'll tell you.
You'll be working pretty active today if you have that, Rod. Anyway, you go and do that, we'll come back and do all the previews and that. And I want to see the bottom of the bowl. Thank you, Ron. Ron Duffersy there. Back with the guys shortly. Let's have a look at all the scratchings now for the TAB meetings. Rose Hill, we've got sunny conditions out here this morning, which is fantastic. Tracker Heavy 9, Penetrometer 6.34, and the rail at 6. Race 1, number 8, Merchant Navy, 9, Reflectivity, 11, Fager, and 14, Whispered Secret, 8, 9, 11, and 14. Race 2, number 1, Artistry, and 5, Savaro, 1 and 5. The third is clear. Race 4, number 6, New Tipperary, and 10, Lanciato, 6 and 10. Race 5, number 3, Rising Red, and 4, Akatua, 3 and 4. Race 6, number 1, Our Ivanhoe is out. Race 6, number 1. Race 7, number 8, Cassidy, number 8. And the last of the scratchings in race 8, number 1, First Seal, and 13, Xenalicious, 1 and 13. That's the information for here at Rose Hill today, the first of 9 races at 20 past 12. Newcastle, take note, today's meeting originally was set down for the Beaumont. It's now being run on the course proper. That track this morning is a soft 6 with fine weather and the rail at 7. Races 1 and 2 are clear. The third, number 1, Florid, 2, From Within, 10, Military Express, and the emergencies 13, Mileage, and 16, Alaphilas. 1, 2,